us pray. Loving and gracious God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we give you thanks for calling us here this day to hear your word and to come to your table, and then to be sent out into a very broken world with a message of hope. Amen. This is a wonderful day. I've never seen this day before. I see that every single day because I have it hanging up in my bathroom. It's from one of the modern day prophets, Maya Angelou. This is a wonderful day, a day full of wonder. I've never seen this one before. I read it as I'm looking at my face in the mirror that looks more like my father than my father, brushing my teeth and weighing myself hanging onto the towel bar. It sets me up to be in a different space for going to hear about what the news is going to bombard us with, and it's not good. And any of you who know me, I've been on the same theme for a number of years now. No one's name will be mentioned, but a certain length of time when hope seems to have slipped away. And so hope and wonder are what today is about. It's Epiphany, the Feast of Epiphany, where those people look up and see a star of wonder and follow it, drop what they're doing, and go for it. The other prophet that we hear this morning, who's my favorite from the Old Testament, is Isaiah's words, "Lift up your eyes and look around. Lift up your eyes and look around." This is a wonderful day. You'll never see this day again. That's what the season of Epiphany is all about. Signs and wonders that God actually has come to dwell among us little earthlings and to teach us a new way to live and to look and to be. And this story of the wise men is so familiar to most of us that we can hardly hear it in a new way. I remember, just a little time frame here, when I was about 10, I was the narrator in my public school's pageant. And the wonder came for me that my mother typed out my scroll with those words we heard this morning on a piece of shelf paper and made it into a scroll. The wonder for me was that she knew how to type. I didn't know that. She'd been a librarian. And that she barely needed to even look at the book to do the typing because she actually knew the words. So that was one. And the other is the camera that's here today, one of three. I have known that camel and that camel's mates for a very long time. Because fast forward from when I was 10 to when I was about 38, and I'm standing up at St. Michael and All Angels with my 10-year-old daughter, Maggie, and we are the narrators of the play. And those camels, three of them, come up the aisle. And here's the really surprising thing, a wonder. Guess who's under those camels? Didi Erb and Heather Bennett. Star of wonder, star of night. Really? Yes. So that's what Epiphany, I don't know what I'd do if the camels were around. Maybe I'd lose my faith or something. I don't know. But have you ever told this story of Christmas, the whole thing, to someone who's never heard it before? They're with you at the beginning. They really love young Mary falling down and saying, "I'll do it," even though the news is not really good news for her, I don't think. And they love the part where loyal Joseph steps up to the plate, so to speak, and goes to Bethlehem with her. And they love the part where those shepherds look up from the flocks and follow the star to that scene. Who doesn't love that Bethlehem manger scene? It kind of gets a little tricky, though, when you get onto the three wise men. It seems to me first of all, you sort of have to explain some of the politics around it. It's as though we've gone from local news to international news in about a breath. And you have to explain a lot of things to the listeners who don't know this story. But they do get it in the end, and then they see these three strange people appear, wise men, magi, whatever they are, soothsayers, and they bring the three gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, which are wonderful gifts, I suppose, for a king, but a little off for a new baby, don't you think? Really, can you imagine Mary? Seriously. Could you have thought of a hot meal or Pampers, diapers, a safe way home, something or other? Anyway, that's the story, and that's what we know about it. But for those of us for whom it's not a new story, this is our next season of Epiphany. And how do we hang on to that wonder? I would say we lift up our eyes and look around. And one way to start, I had this game going in one of my parishes for a very long time called Finding the Gospel in the Globe and Mail. I think it came out of a Lenten Bible study series. And for 40 days, in those days, we read the Globe and Mail. I'll explain that to you. It's a newspaper. Looks like this. It's getting skinnier and skinnier and skinnier and more boring. Sorry. The word puzzle is still good. It's getting smaller and smaller. It's paper. And we've spent 40 days every day. We had to find some good news in the Globe and Mail. And some days, people went right to the birth announcements. Or even, I find nowadays, the death columns are really the best news. I mean, maybe not for the person who died, but to be reading, or maybe it is the best news ever. Think about that. I hadn't thought about that. Another good news in the Globe and Mail. But because those people have lived such wonderful lives. So I thought, you can tell when I planned this sermon, I thought yesterday when I was reading the Saturday paper, I'm going to see if I can find the good news, the gospel in the Globe and Mail. Okay, you have to get back past the current Herods, act of war, Iran vows retaliation as Trump defense strike. Pictures on the front. But right there on the front page, good news. The first step to getting fit, get off Instagram. Done it. Been there. Already passed that test. And I thought what it meant was, which I can have an old lady rant about, which is people on their screens. I thought it meant you'll get fit if you put down your screens and stop doing so much FaceTime or Instagram or something and actually move around. But it really is a story about body shaming. And this one woman who couldn't get fit because she was seeing all these wonderful pictures from people in her gym who were showing the pictures on Instagram. So that was sort of a good news, bad news story. So I keep flipping along. And again, another good news in the Globe and Mail. A sweet story. Syrian refugee and chocolatier prepares to be spawning as a Canadian citizen. Have you been following this man's story? He came with his family from Baghdad, forced out in 2015. And he comes with his whole family to Antigonish, Nova Scotia. I'm not familiar with it, I feel the people in it are. And he comes and he sets up with his parents and his family, and he brings chocolates as presents to the people who've been helping him. A thank you to him. And they set up a shed for him behind his house, and he starts his chocolatier business all over again in Canada. Justin Trudeau hears about this and mentions it at the United Nations. And guess what? The family's business is doing really well now. But this is a good news in the Globe and Mail story. He and his family are now all preparing to take their Canadian citizenship tests in the coming months. That's good news in the Globe and Mail. So if you're looking for some tool for how to retool your hope and wonder, is, I think a second one is go outside. Go outside and look around. Look at the trees, look at the whatever, and look around. And if you need more help with that, I always recommend my other favorite prophet, who happens to be a poet, is Mary Oliver. And I will just say this one, we are not in Provincetown, Cape Cod, where Mary spent most of her life, and she wandered around on those beaches in Cape Cod very early in the morning, and was full of wonder, and had her eyes lifted up and looking around. This is called Why I Wake Early. Hello, sun in my face. Hello, you who make the morning and spread it over the fields and into the faces of the tulips and the nodding morning glories and into the windows of even the miserable and the crotchety. Best creature that ever was. Dear star that just happens to be where you are in the universe to keep us from ever darkness, to ease us with warm touching, to hold us in the great hand of light. Watch now as I start my day in happiness and in kindness. So if finding the gospel in the Globe and Mail and going outside and looking around isn't enough, my last and final suggestion is, if you're old, go and find some young people, and if you're young, go and find some old people. Not hard to do. The beauty of church communities, there's already a bit of that conglomeration. I am known in a park at Queen and Jones as the Swing Lady. Best title I've ever had. Could be worse. I have my little grandkids on Friday afternoons, and I'm 3 and 5, and pick them up after school, and we go to the park. I don't know about you, at a certain age. I don't find playing in the sandbox so much fun anymore, or anything that's down on the ground. I've been known to do it and play baseball and stuff. But I am really good at pushing the swing. Push the swing, talk to whoever's sitting in the swing, and watch all the other mothers, caregivers, whoever's there, sigh of relief that some old lady has taken their kids off their hands for 5 seconds. So I'm pushing away and pushing away. But the other day when we arrived, one little boy who was in my grandson Lee's class said, "Mom, look, the swing lady's here." I'll push several kids, lots of kids. So get with older people or younger people, or people in between, but don't hang around just with your own age demographic. Last but not least, on Christmas Eve, I had another shock of young people. I have to come to that 5 o'clock service because I don't see their little kids singing away in the manger. It's Christmas. And I was sitting at the back, and the whole scene was here, and it was gorgeous. And baby Jesus is baby Jesus, and baby Jesus' mother is dressed as a shepherd just to kiss baby Jesus. Dares to cry, which of course Jesus wouldn't do. And baby Jesus isn't a baby, comes from a very nice line of lineage this year. Susan Hayes' grandson. And his mother Mary from another elegant line. But baby Jesus sits up, like he's in Mary's arms, not lying and crying. And he's just sitting up, and Mary is smart enough to sort of entertain him. And the little kids in front of me said, "Look, Mommy, Jesus, baby Jesus is sitting up." This is a wonderful day. You will never see one this day.